Hello, everybody. My name's Jono, and we're now going to have time for our Bible reading. Tonight's verse is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 to 5. And in your booklet, it's on page 15. So give you all a moment to find that in your booklet, and then we'll begin to read. Okay, let's begin reading. Nevertheless, the gloom of the distressed land will not be like that of the former times, when he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will bring honor to the way of the sea, to the land east of the Jordan, and to Galilee of the nations. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time, and as they rejoice when dividing spoils. For you have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For every trampling boot of battle and the bloodied garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire.
Hello, everyone. How are we? Hey, it's good to be here. My name is Tim. I'm one of the dudes here. I hang out at Pitt Town Church, and I'm excited because we're going to be looking at God's Word together now. And as we do, how about I start? I'm going to ask for God's help, and I'm going to pray. Ask God to help me. Ask God to help us all as we hear what He has to say. Let me pray. Dear God, we thank You for Christmas. We thank You for this time of year, and we pray that as we look at Your Word now, that You might help us to see why Christmas is so good. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have to be honest with you. And I have to be honest with you because the secret is that I'm a sucker for the Christmas season. I love every part of it. Michael Bublé in every shop, so good. The decorations, the flood of perfectly terrible Christmas movies, I love that. The ugly sweaters, the onslaught of Christmas parties one after another, I love that. I love it all. And I love seeing Santa in every second shopping mall. It's amazing how he gets around. The other day I saw Santa at the beach. No lie. Amazing how he gets there. But one of my favorite things about Christmas is the Christmas lights. I love the Christmas lights. And part of the reason I think that I love Christmas lights is because as a kid, my family never really did them. Mum and Dad would say, it's sad, I know. Mum and Dad would say, it's too much effort, we're not going to do that. And so in my mind, there's still this like romantic prospect of putting up lights with the family and it'd be a magical experience. In my mind, I just think of that moment in The Grinch. Hope you've all seen that movie, the greatest Christmas movie ever. The Grinch and Martha May, she has that light cannon and she like shoots the light and they stick onto her house. Absolutely amazing. In my mind, that's what it's like to put up Christmas lights. I love Christmas lights. And part of the reason I think that I love Christmas lights and a lot of people like Christmas lights is because Christmas lights, they shine in the darkness. They shine in the darkness. They stand out in the dark. You know, a regular street can be quite ominous when there's no lights on, but all of a sudden it's Christmas time and the Christmas lights are up and that ominous street is suddenly inviting and exciting and beautiful. Christmas lights shine in the darkness. And we love Christmas lights also, I think, because we know that it's good when the darkness is lit up. We know that it's good when the darkness is lit up because often bad things happen in the dark. Bad things happen in the dark. How many of you have been walking around your house maybe late at night and the lights are off and you stub your toe on like the bedpost? Yeah, yeah, I've done it. It hurts. The little pinky toe, the poor guy. Or how many of you have like gone into a room to turn the light off and then as you turn it off, you run out because you don't want to get caught in the dark? And I think, maybe it's a little silly, but I think the reason is we know that bad things happen in the dark. And maybe even we will admit that even terrible things happen in the dark. People are more inclined to hurt each other in the dark. People are more inclined to commit crime in the dark. Maybe you have been to a place in your life where you felt like you couldn't go out in the dark because it wasn't safe. We know that bad things happen in the dark. And tonight, we're looking at what Jono just read out for us, Isaiah 9, 1 to 5. It's on page 15. I'll keep telling you that so you can keep looking at it. And we're going to see that the Christmas story is a story about how God has defeated the darkness. And so I've got 3 points that I want to cover in tonight's talk. 3 things that I want to help you guys remember. Number one is the darkness. Number two, we'll see the light. And number three, we're going to see the victory. The darkness, the light, and the victory. And we're going to do this by looking at those verses, Isaiah 9, 1 to 5. But specifically, we're going to spend a lot of time looking at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. And it says this, I'll read it out for us again. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness." And maybe after hearing, you know, Jono read the Bible earlier, or even hearing that verse, you might be left with perhaps more questions than answers. You're thinking like, Tim, I thought this was Christmas. Like, where's Jesus and the donkey? Where's Mary and Joseph? Like, where's all that stuff? Why are we talking about that stuff? And that's a good point. But what I'm hoping is that we will come to see through the prophecy of Isaiah more clearly who Jesus was. Because what we've been doing here at Pitt Town Church over this Christmas season is we've been thinking about Christmas as promised. And what we mean by that is that, you know, 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born. It wasn't like some random in a vacuum event. It didn't just happen and Jesus and his story kind of picked up a bit of traction. And so now 2,000 years later ago, we're still talking about it. That's not what we mean. What we mean is that the story of Jesus was actually promised and prophesied about well in advance before Jesus showed up. And so this year we're looking at the Christmas story as it was promised in the Old Testament. And with a crowd this size, I know that there are some of you, I can see some of you that I know, that go to church all the time, and that's awesome. Maybe there's some of you who go to another church. But there's also some of you who perhaps only visit church occasionally, maybe for Christmas or for Easter or maybe a wedding or a baptism. Maybe that's you. But maybe you don't go to church at all. And if you're honest, you don't really know why you're sitting here. Maybe a friend invited you and you thought, all right, I'll come, whatever. Or maybe you got like a card in the mail and you thought, I'll go, see what it's all about. And can I just say that it is good, it is great that you are here. Here at Pitt Town, we love having new people. And here at Pitt Town, we believe that the Bible is good news because it reminds us that at Christmas, Jesus was born and Jesus is good news. And so I'm going to jump now into that first point. Remember those 3 points I was talking about? The darkness, the light, and the victory. But number one, the darkness. I wonder what you think of when I say the word darkness. Maybe for some of you with kids, you think, finally a time to relax. You know, the kids are in bed, everything's done. I can sit on the couch and like watch Netflix, or I can have a drink. I can just relax. Maybe that's what you think of when I say darkness. Or maybe like me, you know, when I was a kid, I was scared of the darkness. Not scared of the darkness anymore, I'm a big boy now, but back then I was scared of the darkness and I had to have like a little light on my bedside table. Or maybe when you think of the darkness, you're thinking about it more metaphorically. You know, you hear people say sometimes, oh, that movie had a lot of like dark themes, or that TV show has a lot of like dark themes. And they don't like mean like the movie was literally dark. They mean that the ideas in the movie were dark in some way, they were violent or they were about death. And like us, when the Bible talks about darkness, it's talking about something specific. It's talking about something real, but it's using this idea of darkness to describe what it is. The Bible is using the image of darkness to describe something very real. And what the Bible means by darkness is it's a way to describe the reality that our world isn't as it should be. That our world isn't as it should be. And I think that is something we can all agree with. The world isn't as it should be. For a lot of us, maybe even for you here tonight, Christmas is, you know, sometimes good, but also it can be a reminder that our families are broken and divided. Sometimes you have like Christmas dinner and there's like two people sitting on the same table, but they just refuse to talk to each other. Our world is broken. Or maybe Christmas is even a reminder that like you don't see half your family anymore because like the relationships have been severed and everything isn't as it should be. And even outside of the Christmas season, we don't have to look very far to see that our world isn't the way it should be. Maybe for you it's an unhealthy relationship where perhaps someone hurts you. Maybe for you it's a workplace where everyone is just trying to push each other down so that they can go further up. The world is not as it should be. And even outside of our own circles, outside of our own lives, it doesn't take much effort to see that the world is not as it should be. People are hurting each other. People are using violence to get their way. People are suffering. There are wars going on where innocent people die. The world is not as it should be. And perhaps, as much as we would like it to be true, especially at Christmas, life isn't always tinsel and gingerbread. And this is what Isaiah 9:2 is talking about when it says that this world is in darkness. The world isn't the way it should be. And the Bible labels the central problem that causes all this darkness. The Bible labels that problem sin. The Bible says sin is the problem in our world. And before I go any further, I just want to clarify for all of us what I mean by sin. Because perhaps I'm sure that for some of you, when I said sin is the problem, you thought, all right, here we go, this guy. Christian stuff, yeah, whatever. But can I encourage you, come back to me, tune back in, because I believe, and we believe here at Pitt Town Church, that sin is a profound explanation of why our world isn't the way it should be. Maybe for a lot of us, when we think of sin, we think of the stuff that kind of gets you on the naughty list, you know, Santa's naughty list. We're thinking about specific things like don't lie or don't steal or don't swear, because if you do that, that's a sin and that's bad. And that's true. Those things are sinful. But if we stop there, what we're doing is we're just pointing out the symptoms without ever really addressing the sickness. If all you do is fix the symptoms or try to address the symptoms, but you ignore the sickness, then it doesn't end very well for you. Everyone, we all understand that. There was a time in my life when I got really sick, and it all started when I was on holidays. I was having a great time, and I was riding on my bike, and I fell off. You know, I tumbled over the handlebars, scratches, you know, all that kind of stuff. I was fine, got back up and went back to the tent. But over the next couple of days, I began to have this like really bad pain in my like stomach region. It was really, really like bad. I was slow. I didn't have much energy. It was painful to move around. And I was young at the time, like I was 9 or 10. And so I went from being like a kid on holidays, amped to be there, let's go crazy, to like sitting in the camp chair or lying in bed doing nothing all day. It was that bad. And so naturally, after a couple of days, my parents thought, all right, what's going on here? So they took me across the road to the doctor. And the doctor did all, you know, the doctor things, check the heartbeat, check the eyes, ask all the questions, all the doctor things. And by the end of the visit, the doctor's advice was that I should just wait it out and take some Panadol to kind of stop or to just neutralize the pain when I feel it. And to cut a long story short, the reason I was in pain was actually because I had a punctured kidney that was bleeding internally. But the doctor didn't know this. He couldn't figure this out just from the checks he did. And so because the doctor didn't identify the actual problem, all he could do was tell me to take Panadol to address the symptoms, which was the pain. That's how Panadol works. Panadol just blocks the messages from the pain to the brain, but it doesn't actually fix the sickness. It doesn't help you in any lasting way. And in the same way, the Bible says that all those things that we might consider to be the problem, you know, the lying and the swearing, and the stealing and maybe the greed and the violence and the war, all those things that we consider to be the problem, they're actually just symptoms. And they're symptoms of the real problem. And the Bible says the real problem is sin. And at the heart of sin is a rejection of God. Sin is when we reject God. All of us, the Bible says, all of us, we hate God. We don't trust God. We believe he's trying to hold us back. We believe that he doesn't want the best for us. That's what we all believe. We believe that we could run our lives better than ever he could. We believe that we could run this world better than he could. And the Bible calls that sin. Sin is when we reject God's friendship and relationship with God. And because we have rejected God, there's a disconnect from us and God. And out of that disconnect, what the Bible calls sin, comes all the symptoms that we've been talking about, the lying and the stealing and the swearing and the greed and the violence and the war. That's what sin is. It's our rejection of God. And so when we try to limit the symptoms by taking Panadol, when we try to limit the symptoms of sin by doing the right thing, by not swearing, by trying to be a little bit kinder to others, all we're doing is taking Panadol for a bleeding kidney. It doesn't help. Maybe it stops the pain for a little bit. It's not actually addressing the real problem at all. And this is true for all of us. For every single person here tonight, whether they've been on stage or they haven't been on stage, whether they're sitting next to you or you yourself, all of us, we have rejected God. And maybe you are very aware that you have rejected God. Maybe you're doing it on purpose. You know about it and you think, yeah, I don't want anything to do with God's stuff. I'm running away from that. But it's also possible that you're here and you haven't really ever thought about the fact that you might be rejecting God. You're just doing what everyone else is doing and you didn't really consider it. But either way, the Bible says that we all have rejected God. The Bible says that we all love the darkness. We all have rejected God. Isaiah 9:2, it tells us that the world isn't the way it should be. And it says, and the Bible says, that sin is the real problem. But the good news is that the passage, it doesn't end in the darkness. It doesn't end in the darkness. That was number one. But number two, we see the light. Let me read verse 2 again, Isaiah 9, verse 2. I know we're reading this a lot of times, but it's on page 15 if you want to have a look as well. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness." So we've seen the darkness, but now we're going to think about the light. What is the light? And the first thing to say about the light is that, like the darkness, it's a way to describe something very real. It's a way to talk about something very specific. And in this case, the light, what we see in this verse is that the light is what can defeat the darkness. The darkness is everything wrong in our world, but the light is how our world can be restored. One of the things that I do for work is I'm a videographer, and that means I make videos. And what you quickly learn about making videos is that lighting is a big part. Cameras are pretty terrible if there's no lighting. That's just how it works. And so one of the things I do all the time is light things. But something I've noticed is that light is always more powerful than the dark. Light is always more powerful than the dark. Like if I turn a light on in a room when I'm lighting a scene, I can't add more darkness to make that light dimmer. It's just not how it works. Light is always going to win. It's always as bright as it is. But if I do the other way, if I have a dark room and I want to keep it, no. If I have a dark room and I want to light it up, I can add a light and the darkness disappears. The darkness has to go away because the light is more powerful. And what we see in Isaiah 9 is that even though there is a lot of darkness in our world, well, the light shows up, and when the light shows up, everyone can see it. The darkness can't crush or stop the light that's coming. And surprisingly, maybe, in Isaiah 9, what we learn is that this light that's coming is actually going to be a person. And this person, when they do come, they're actually going to bring an end to the darkness. And this is the Christmas story. This is the good news of Christmas. The Christmas story isn't that Jesus, baby Jesus was born and, oh, isn't he cute? That's not the Christmas story. If you think that's what the Christmas story is, I've got good news. It's so much better than that. If that's what the Christmas story was, that would be boring, honestly, and lame. Babies are cool for 3 minutes. I say that not having a child. But the Christmas story is about the light, is about the light who could defeat the darkness, is about the light who could restore this world, is about the light who is Jesus who was born. And at Christmas, when Jesus was born 700 years later, after this prophecy in Isaiah was written, the Bible's claim is that Jesus was that light that Isaiah is talking about. The verses in Isaiah 9 are talking about Jesus, the one who can defeat the darkness. And later on in Jesus' life, he says this about himself in John 8:12. He says, "I am the light of the world. Anyone who follows me will never walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life." And so the question is, how does Jesus defeat the darkness? How does Jesus defeat the darkness? Which brings us to point number 3. We've looked at the darkness, we've seen the light, but now I want us to think about and understand the victory. What is the victory? Because after verse 2, you might have noticed that there was some other stuff said that was a bit strange. Let me read it again. It's from Isaiah 9, 3 to 5, and Isaiah says this. He says, "You have enlarged the nations. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoiced at harvest time and as they rejoice when dividing spoils. For you have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For every trampling boot of battle and bloody garment of war will be burned as fuel for the fire." And you might be thinking again, like, what does that mean? Like, where's Jesus? Where's the baby? Where's Mary and Joseph? Well, Isaiah, in this verse, he's talking about what the light was going to do. What the light was going to do when he arrives. And what does Isaiah say the light is going to do? The light is going to bring joy and peace and abundance. That's what the light's going to do. The light is going to shatter the oppressive yokes. And then in verse 5, we read that every trampling boot of battle and bloody garment of war is going to be burnt in a fire. And the point of that is that when Jesus shows up, when Jesus finishes his mission, there's going to be no more need for those things. Burn them, get rid of them. We don't need them anymore. No one's going to war ever again. No one's going to be hurt by their family. Violence won't be needed. It's all done for. It's all finished with. And I'm not sure what you think, but for me, that sounds like the world I want to live in. That sounds like the place I want to be. Don't you think? Like joy and peace and abundance all the time? That sounds so good. No more oppression, no more war. In our world, that's kind of hard to imagine, but that's what the light brings. That's what Jesus brings. It's so obviously better. It's so obviously what we all desperately want. And here at Pitt Town Church, this is why we celebrate Christmas. We don't celebrate Christmas because baby Jesus was born and, oh, isn't he cute? No, we celebrate Christmas because Isaiah 9:2 says that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. And that is good news. That is great news. That is world-changing news. Jesus came to defeat the darkness. But how does Jesus get the victory? How does Jesus defeat the darkness? Well, what we see in the Bible is that Jesus defeats the darkness by actually addressing the problem that's causing it. Jesus actually addresses our sin problem. Jesus addresses our relationship with God problem. Jesus doesn't just come primarily to fix up all the symptoms of sin that we see around us, all the bad things. Those things are good that we try to fix them. But Jesus came to fix the main problem. Jesus came to fix the sin problem. Jesus came to restore our relationship with God. Jesus came to do surgery and not just prescribe Panadol for the symptoms. And this Christmas, that's good news. It's good news for me and it's good news for you because it means we don't have to keep fighting and worrying about all the symptoms because we know that Jesus has already beat the sickness. He's already addressed our sin problem. Because it's bad advice to believe that if we can just keep curbing the symptoms, that eventually the sickness will go away. Sin is not a problem that Panadol can fix. Our relationship with God is not something that we can fix by our own efforts. Instead, the Bible is calling us to look towards Jesus. The Bible is calling us to look towards the light who has solved our sin problem for us. And perhaps tonight is the first time that you've come to a church or that you've heard about Jesus. Or maybe for you, this is the first time, you know, you've heard about Jesus, but this is the first time you're really starting to maybe understand a little bit more. Or perhaps you've been considering Jesus for a while now and tonight something about him is intriguing and you want to know more. And I just want to remind you that now is the time to respond. Don't keep running away from God. Don't keep running away from the symptoms, but address them. And so tonight, whoever you are, whatever your story is, I encourage you to consider, where do you stand with Jesus? Where do you stand with the light? Have you let Jesus address your sin problem, the main problem in your life? Or are you still running away? Because when we address the symptoms, but we ignore the sickness, it doesn't end well for us. Things don't get better, they get worse. And so this Christmas, consider, where do you stand with Jesus? In a moment, Katie's going to get back up and going to walk us through some next steps. And so I encourage you to think, what do I want to do next? What do I want to know more? Because the point of Christmas isn't that baby Jesus was born and isn't he cute? That's not the point. The point of Christmas is that the light has dawned, and that's good news in our world because we know that bad things happen in the dark. And the story of Christmas is that light will always overcome the darkness. The point of Christmas is that Jesus has won the victory because he has already dealt with our main problem. And so this Christmas, will you let Jesus deal with your sin problem, or are you going to keep running away and trying to deal with the symptoms yourself? Let me pray. Dear God, we thank you for Christmas. We thank you for all the things that we enjoy during this period. But Lord, we also mourn over a broken world. But tonight, Lord, we are reminded that Jesus came to deal with our real problem. Jesus, the light of the world, came to beat and finish off the darkness for good. And that means that one day things will be restored and the world will be as it should be. Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for Jesus. In his name, amen.